Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Today I Learned, where we learn about strange things that can happen with your hair, skin, boobs, and more. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 148. Hello, Shauna.
Hello.
So I think we should just get right to it. I want to hear what's going on with you and your kiddos this week. And how old is Cece these days?
Cece is 2 years and 3 months, almost 2 years and 4 months. She is doing good. I actually wanted to start out today by telling one of the most disturbing and maybe the most, one of the worst parenting moments of my life.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Oh, man.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Steve is complicit in this too. So it involves the whole family.
Okay.
So this week we went to a little hike in our neighborhood. We've been getting out more, going to parks and hikes and stuff like that. And it was great, wonderful. There's a swing that goes over a creek. And, you know, we had a little snacknick. That's what I call a picnic where we just eat snacks.
Nice.
And it was, yeah, it was wonderful. And then we load up the car. And after going to parks or playgrounds or anything like that right now, we're very like, everyone get your hand sanitizer. And there's like just this big hubbub of like making sure everyone sanitizes and get clean. And so they're getting into their car seats. And Steve's like getting them hand sanitizer. He gets Elle in her seat, comes around, sanitizes Cece's hands, etc. And then gets in the driver's seat and I get in the passenger seat. And I was like, oh, we have to make a pickup at Target. Let's head over to Target. Okay, no problem. What's the fastest way to get there? I'm like, oh, probably the freeway because it's like a couple exits away. So we hop on the freeway. We go to Target. We pull into the drive-up area because we're waiting for our order to be brought down to us. And I turn around to say something to Elle and I literally did a double take where I looked back at her for a second, turned back, and then I slowly looked back at her again. I was like, Do you not have your seatbelt buckles on? She's like, oh, no. So she she sits in a car seat still because she's five, you know, but still relatively small. It's supposed to have a 5-point harness that buckles like, you know, over her arms, click in front of her chest, buckle in down at her crotch. That's the way we always drive with Elle everywhere for safety. No one buckled her at all. Didn't even put the buckles on her arms.
Oh, no.
And we got on the fucking freeway and drove to Target with our child not buckled in her seat. I like had a heart attack. I could even believe it.
I understand that retroactive anxiety. I have it all the time, like remembering how close you got to something going really bad.
Yes.
I try to remember, I think someone told me this once, it might have been a therapist, that like those are good moments. Like it's a good kind of anxiety to have because it can remind, it teaches you how to like be better in the future. Like, and so we shouldn't be too concerned about it because it's like I'm in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, we almost didn't get away. You know, we almost, it was almost disaster. But I was told once like it wasn't actually disaster. And now you will always check. And it's like, okay. But yeah, that's scary.
That is so true.
Is it one of those things where you could tell Elle, like indoctrinate her to make sure that she tells you if she's not buckled in?
Yes. And that's exactly what I did. I tempered my reaction in the moment because what I didn't want to do was make her feel bad and like it was her fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because inside I wanted to be like, what? You're not buckled? Oh my God. You know, and I knew that would scare her and stuff. So I was just like, oh my gosh, honey, you're not buckled. And I'm like squeezing Steve's knee. Like, oh my God. I was like, honey, in the future, if you ever see that you're not buckled, it's super duper important to let us know so that we can make sure you're safe. And just like you said, I learned from that. I mean, I'm probably overly paranoid now. Like everywhere we go, I'm like looking back at the girls, like, did we buckle you? Did we buckle you? Did we buckle you? And so that, you know, that is a good thing. It's good to be hyper aware of buckling your kids into their seats. So there was some good that came out of it. But yeah, the fear of like the averted disaster is like terrifying. It just makes my stomach just drop thinking about it.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of what you hear about with drownings too, is that it's like always when there's like multiple adults around and everyone sort of thinks someone else is watching the kid. It's sort of like you and Steve were both kind of doing stuff and neither one of you was like, you probably thought Steve did it and Steve probably thought you did it. And like, just in like the hubbub of getting out of there, I totally could see how that would happen. Do you want to hear my version of this that happened last week so you can feel a little better?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is my version of it. I felt I had the exact same feeling you had. So, like, the whole family, we were going to the park, and I had just taken apart Sebastian's car seat because, like, because he had puked all over it, right?
Oh, no.
And he had gotten the webbing on the straps. So I, like, took them off of there. The kind we have is a Kiko key fit. So you can, like, unhook the back and pull them through and kind of rinse them off. And that's what I had done. And I went to rehook them on, and I thought I had hooked them on properly. Like, I thought I had triple checked it. When we got to the park, we went to, like, loosen his straps and get him out. And one of the straps just completely came out of the car seat. And I realized that it hadn't quite gotten properly hooked in. Like, it was just a little off of the hook. And so it was, like, the same thing. Like, had we gotten to an accident, he would have only been half buckled in, you know, my 8-week old. And I had a little bit of, like, a internal anxiety attack about that, but
yeah,
you better believe that I triple check now. Like, I tug on those straps now every time I, like, bring the car seat out or anything. So
yes.
Yeah. But it's scary. It's scary. I'm sorry you went through that.
Thank you. Luckily, thank God, everything is fine. Everything is okay. But yeah, that was definitely a wake up call. The other thing I was going to talk about this week is not nearly as heart-stopping, so that's good. It's just Cece's new thing. She's always got a new thing every week. Her new thing this week directly comes from mimicking me. I think it's from me. Could be other people in the house. But when she gets frustrated, what she does now every time, let's say, I don't know what would frustrate her. She can't get doll clothes on her doll. She goes, frustrated, like,
You totally make that noise. I know that so well.
Oh my God, and you don't even live with me, right? And you know that that's so me. So she's, like, being exposed to this all the time. Like, oh my God, if I bang my toe, I'm like, oh, or just, like, the dog gets in my way. I'm trying to move fast in the kitchen. Ah! So I'm like, oh. Oh, and so she's taking it a step farther. The other day, she wanted more ketchup with her chicken nuggets. And I was like, honey, I already gave you a lot of ketchup. That's the portion for ketchup for today. And she goes, gah, mom.
She's a freaking teenager.
Such attitude from this little 2-year-old. Oh, mom.
Mom.
Oh, my God. Mama. She calls me mama. So I guess it was, oh, mama.
See, I was going to say, because Augie, he will rotate through, like, mommy, mama, and mom, and then also Laura. And, like, he uses them very strategically. So I thought she was like, mom, no ketchup. How dare you?
Oh, well, that was definitely the feeling behind it. But yeah, she doesn't rotate much with me. She calls me mama. Elle definitely rotates through all of them. It really cracks me up when she calls Steve. I don't know why either.
Like, Augie will be like, Corey, and you know, it's clearly imitating me. And sometimes he'll go, Corey, it's okay.
No,
because I think he hears me be like, Corey, like, I'll be, like, frustrated with something. I'll be like, it's okay. It's just, I'll do it or whatever. And he goes, Corey, it's okay.
Oh, my God. It's just so funny when they use their first name. Even my mother-in-law, her first name is Chris, right? And the girls call her grandma all the time. And yesterday we were leaving to the park and Elle's like, bye, Chris. Okay. Oh my God.
So cute.
Too funny. But yeah, that's pretty much it for us this week. Why don't we move on to you? What's going on in your world?
Oh man. All right.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just tired, Shauna. I'm just tired. Not just because I have an 8-week old, which I do. I'm tired because my 26-month-old, almost 27-month-old, who was perfectly potty trained, like, perfectly for months, is now completely regressed, like, completely, completely regressed.
Even more so than, like, the last couple weeks?
Yeah, it just keeps getting worse. So, like, at first it was he would just, like, miss the potty for pee. And to be fair, it's always for pee still. Thank goodness he's still using the potty for pooping. Like, it's so weird. Mm-hmm. And I say it's weird because I feel like most people have the opposite. Like, they have lots of success with pee, but poop is harder. So
right.
I don't know what his deal is with that, but I'm not questioning it because I'd much prefer not to have poop accidents. But so he like first he was just sort of missing the potty, and then he would have like occasional accidents if he was really engrossed in like television, which is part of the reason we haven't been watching so much television anymore. Or like he was playing in the yard. And then he would start to pee because he hadn't been inside for a long time and we forgot to prompt him. That all made sense. But now it's getting to the point where he's like intentionally kind of peeing in the wrong places. So Sebastian has this like little playmat with like an arch over it that has a little tree and some like plant designs on it, right? And with Augie, when we've been outside, like I have taught him that it's if he really has to pee and it's going to be an accident, he can ask to pee in the bushes. And he thinks it's really fun, right? So, and we, I talked about that in the show, right? When
You got caught by the mailman.
Yes, he was peeing in the bushes and got caught by the mailman. So I've taught him to pee in the bushes. So I had been getting him ready for his bath. I was in the bathroom trying to fill up the bathtub. I got him half undressed and then he ran away into the living room. So he was like naked from the waist down. And then from the living room, I hear him say, pee-pee in the bushes? And I was like, what? No, honey, we don't pee. There's no bushes inside. I'm getting ready for your bath. One sec. And I come out and he's standing over this play mat and he's literally peeing on the tree.
Oh, no.
And he points and he goes, pee-pee in the bushes. And I was like... Yeah, you did. You really did.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong about that. So that was exasperating because it's like he's intentionally having these accidents now. You know, he's intentionally like not going potty. And
yeah.
And the sort of final straw for me was I went to pick him up right after that. I picked him up and was like, okay, it's time for the bath. And I had him like on my hip and I'm carrying him into the bathroom. And he goes, pee-pee? And I was like, no pee-pee. And he pee-peed all over me, like all down my side. Yeah.
Oh, no. So he didn't get all the pee out on the playmat.
No, no. Because he's like, he has the physical ability. Like he has the skill to be potty trained. He can stop on demand.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like want to, basically. Like I've so we've come to the decision, Corey and I, like we've come to the conclusion, I should say, that he has the ability, but not the willingness right now.
Yeah. Do you think he's using it as a way of exerting control over something in his life?
I think he might. Yeah. I think he's got a lot going on, you know, he's got lots of big changes with the baby brother. And I think that's just one of the things he can, yeah, he can have control over, right? Is like where he pees and he knows it brings attention to him, even though we try not to like make a big deal out of it. So Corey and I have discussed it and Corey's been wanting to put him back into diapers for weeks. And I've been like, no, no, I want to give him a chance. I know he has the ability. But then that night after he peed all over me, I like sat him down. Corey came over and we sat together and we're like, Augie, do you want to wear diapers again? And he said, yes. Like immediately.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And we said, okay, so do you want to wear diapers tomorrow when you wake up? You want to wear diapers? He said, yes. And we said, okay, like we're not going to argue with that. So that was today. This morning we put him in diapers. So it's only been a couple hours, so I don't have much to report. But
was he still willing to do it this morning? Like he hadn't changed his mind back?
No, he was very excited to go. I mean, they're like pull-ups, you know, those
Pampers
360 pull-ups. So, yeah, no, he was fine with it. And to be fair, he wears them at naps and nighttime, so it didn't seem that weird to him, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I can just say that this morning was so much calmer than it's been in a while.
Calmer how?
Just anxiety-wise for me and for him. Like, this constant, like, do you have to potty? Should we potty? Like, there was, I realized how much of my mental and emotional... like attention it was taking, trying to like stop the accidents or clean up the accidents. I mean, you know, because you went through this recently too. It's just like,
oh yeah,
doing this, I guess the oh crap lady calls it a reset. Like, I guess we're resetting. And I have to say that it definitely takes the edge off of, you know, it's just one less thing to have to worry about. So
I think it takes the pressure off the kid too. That's what I noticed when I put her back in pull-ups. Like, of course I was extremely relieved, but I think she was too. And everyone in the house just kind of chilled out,
yeah,
for, you know, and it was nice. So I support that decision and I hope it goes well for you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm trying not to I'm just trying to make it no big deal. I just personally kind of feel bad because I wish we had done it like 3 weeks ago when Corey suggested it. You know, and I told him, I was like, I think you were right. I should have listened to you. He's like, what's that? Can you say that a little louder?
Can you record that and play it back to me?
Right. I just did, Corey. If you listen to the podcast, you would hear me admitting that you're right. I was wrong.
It exists.
Yes.
Forevermore.
But anyway, so we are now on a reset as well. So
okay.
It seems to be a thing that's happening. Okay. So, you know, now on to the reason why. The reason for the season, the reason why his regressions are happening, which is probably his little brother. He is 2 months old now.
Oh, my God.
I know. Getting so big. Squish. I know. Little Squish is getting big. And his shots are tomorrow, though. He had him a little late. So we haven't done the 2 month shots yet. I'm a little little worried about them. But I think hopefully they'll be OK. I mean, what are you going to do? It's a thing that they have to go through and he'll deal. So he's getting those tomorrow. But for now, I've noticed he's supposed to be going through his second leap, according to Wonder Weeks.
OK. And what is the second leap all about?
The second leap is patterns, Shauna. Patterns.
Patterns. Okay.
So it says that with the second leap, he enters the world of patterns. Once he's taken this leap, your baby will no longer experience the world as one whole, as an intense perception, but he will start to see patterns. There's a lot more to it, but his skills he's going to acquire apparently are watching fast-moving images on TV, looking at complex shapes and colors, and trying to turn your head towards things that interest you. This is you being the baby.
Mm-hmm.
But I've totally noticed him. Like, honestly, he's gotten more fussy and needs to nurse a bit more, like more irregularly, some cluster feeding. But I've also noticed he's suddenly just like more interested in the world, you know, like he's really interested
in
his toys. And yeah, if the TV's on, he like turns to look at it. So it's really fun to watch that developmental change. And I just love every little leap that like gets him to be more interactive, too.
Yes.
Because I love a little squishy newborn, but it is kind of boring at some point where you're just like, you know, you're just like, smile or something, you know?
The interaction is way more fun.
But yeah, it's really fun. And he's just smiling at me a lot more. So like he gives me a big smile every time I like see him first thing in the morning, which
really?
Is very sweet.
Yeah.
Like I'll pull the curtains back so there's some light and then he just like brightens, like his whole face brightens up and he smiles at me. I'm just like, well, I can't be mad that you did not sleep last night because you are so cute.
Yes, that is helpful. Being cute is helpful, especially at that age.
It really, really is. Yeah. But anyway, if we have time, I just have one more little thing I want to share because I feel like I was very negative on Augie earlier with all of his regressions and I feel exasperated and I don't want it to just sound like it's all hard, tired things because he has this new thing he's been doing, which I think is so freaking cute, which is he is now asking, what's that? About pretty much everything. But the thing about it, that seems pretty normal for like a 2-year-old. What's that? What's that? But he does that with stuff he knows the answer to. So he'll say like, what's that? And I'll say, what do you think it is? And then he'll answer. And it just goes on and on and on. And so I got a voice memo of it, if I can play it real quick.
Oh, cute. Yeah.
You. Okay. A mighty ocean liner has a big and busy crew.
That's a big boat.
It is a big boat. It carries many passengers. They're waving now. Yoo-hoo.
What's that?
What is it?
A pool.
A pool. Can I take your...
It's getting out.
Who's getting out?
The mouse.
The mouse is getting out of the swimming pool? Yeah. What else we got?
What's those?
What are they?
That's a really gross.
Mm-hmm.
What's this?
What is it?
A boat.
Yeah. It is a boat.
It's a big boat.
It sure is. A mighty ocean liner. What else do we have?
What's that for a boat?
What is it?
You go in it.
Yeah.
And you float to the water.
Is that right?
What's those?
What are they?
They're saying woo.
Yeah, they're saying woo. They're saying hello. Welcome home. They're welcoming home the ocean liner.
What's this?
What is it?
That's a huge boat. Mm-hmm. That's a big boat.
It's a big boat.
What's this? That's a big boat.
What is this?
A lighthouse.
A lighthouse.
What's
What is it? You tell me.
Boat.
That anyway, that goes on for another 5 minutes, by the way. What's this? What's that? It's a boat. What's this? It's a mail truck. I mean, like, just nonstop, nonstop.
It's so cute. It's like he's doing that to create a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. I love that interaction.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
And also, don't we do that to them, like, for years?
Oh, yeah.
Like, at books, it's like, what's that? It's like a circle. They're like, you're asking me this, and I know you know what it is. It's a circle. So now he's doing it, too.
That's right. It is a lot of mimicry. You're right. That's really funny. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. So, you know, it's not all pea-soaked clothes. It's, you know, fun time still.
Yeah.
I really am actually enjoying, like, the two-year-old stuff, even though it's hard. Like, it's very fun.
Very fun.
But anyway, that is it for me. I think it's time to move on to our special segment. What do you think?
Let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Today I Learned, where we talk about things we've learned about recently that have to do with pregnancy, parenting, trying to conceive, those types of things. So, Laura, I'm dying to know, what have you learned recently?
Okay, so I learned about something called the Harlequin color change. Have you heard about this?
No.
In newborns. Okay, so I was taught this by my mom. I learned a lot of things from my mom. She knows a lot of really obscure, weird things about, like, babies and kids from a medical perspective.
Uh-huh.
And this came up weeks ago, back when Sebastian was, like, really, really little. And, like, you know, maybe, like, 10 days old or something. He started crying, and I noticed that, like, he wasn't... You know how little babies, when they start crying, get really upset, they get red? And yeah. I noticed that he wasn't, like, evenly red. Like, it was kind of splotchy. Mm-hmm. And I got really, like, freaked out. I was like, oh my gosh, does he have hives? Is this a rash? And my mom was like, no. She said that newborns, apparently, like, there's something about their nervous system where they're not, like, it's not totally developed, and they sort of get irregular blood flow to parts of their skin, because, like, you have to have, like, a mature, I guess, nervous system to, like, tell your body, like, send blood to all the places at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're a little tiny newborn, sometimes it'll just be splotchy because it's irregular, right?
Okay.
The term for it is, it involves a temporary imbalance of the tone of cutaneous blood vessels. Okay, so, like, okay. It's just a matter of regulating where the blood goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she said, you know what you should really see is something called the Harlequin color change. She's like, it's so weird and very striking and really, really common. And we've gotten so many parents calling us being freaked out about it because it looks really scary. And so I Googled it. And what it is it's that irregular, you know, blood flow where, like, part of the baby is red, but it's, like, exactly down their midline. So, like, one half of their body is red and one half of their body is normal skin tone.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Even on their face?
Yes, especially on their face. So wow. I'm going to send you what it looks like, okay?
Oh, wow. Yeah, right down the middle of her little face. And this other one right down her chest. Yeah, that would freak me out too if I saw that in my baby.
Yep. So... it would totally freak me out too. And so my mom was like, oh, you should tell people on your podcast about this so they don't freak out. So here I am in the Today I Learned segment telling y'all that it's a totally normal thing and it's completely benign. Like, it's not a problem.
Does it go away with age?
Yeah, it goes. So that's the thing about it. It's transient. So it doesn't, it's like a brief color change. I don't know, a couple minutes, I think is what they say.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't resolve in a couple minutes, then it's, you know, a more serious problem. But it happens in a lot of babies. Something like 10% of babies or something can show signs mm-hmm. of this. So, yeah, now you know.
And do they outgrow it? Like, if mm-hmm. they get upset, and they're not going to be, like, 2 years old and get upset and be half red, are they?
No, they're not. It's like they said that it's usually seen between 3 and 5 days. But it's been seen up to 3 weeks of age. So, like, my guy's way out of it. at this point. But yeah, it's like a new newborn thing.
Wow, that's so fascinating. Your mom knows so much cool stuff.
She really does. And a lot of terrifying stuff too. But luckily this, I like to keep the terrifying stuff out of the podcast.
Yeah.
And just bring the really quirky, interesting, innocent ones to you. So
yes, good idea. Yes.
But yeah, so if your baby is half red and half normal skin tone for like a minute or two, normal.
Totally normal. Who knew?
Now we all do. All right. Yep. So that's my first today I learned. Shauna, do you have one for us?
I do. Okay. I have one for you. This is a very rare syndrome that I came across. It kind of blew my mind. And I want to know if you've ever heard of this.
All right.
There is something called the uncombable hair syndrome.
What? No. That, I mean, my mom has told me about a lot of things, but this is a first for me.
What? Oh, okay. Interesting. Now, look, I am the mom of two girls, and combing long hair is not always easy, but some detangler does the trick, right? And the hair will eventually lie flat after I comb it. But there are people, and there's only like 100 people, children, it affects children. There are only about 100 children who have this condition called uncombable hair syndrome. And it's a condition where the hair is dry and frizzy and it can't be combed flat because the root of the hair shaft doesn't grow straight. It grows like crisscross or like triangular shape. So at the scalp of the head, all the little hair strands are pointing every which way.
And weird.
Yes. I watched a YouTube video of a mom and her 3-year-old daughter on a talk show talking about uncombable hair syndrome. And she's so freaking cute. She's this little 3-year-old with this head of super, super blonde, shiny hair. Like, that's kind of one of the features of this syndrome, too, is the hair is usually very, very bright blonde.
That's so interesting.
It looks like she has a big, fluffy wig on her head with the top strands of hair kind of trying to lie flat over them. I don't know if I'm describing that well.
You might have to send it to me. I might need to see this.
Okay, let me send it to you.
Oh, weird. Yeah. So it's like the ends of her hair are fine, but like the base of her hair is the problem. I mean, or problem. I guess I shouldn't say problem, right? Because it's all relative, but it's the uncombable part.
The scalp part is the uncombable part. I guess the longer it gets, the ends kind of even out and become straight.
Yeah.
So it's really, really interesting. And I found out that it's caused by mutations in 3 different genes. And these genes are responsible for the structure of the hair shaft. So these genes produce proteins to create like cylindrical, smooth hair shafts. But when there's a mutation in them, the proteins are either inactive or underactive, and so they create these kind of funky shapes to the hair shaft. So the hair will be growing every which way from the head. It could be straight up. Some pieces could go to the left. Some pieces could go to the right. And they're just kind of wacky like that. And so that's why it's like impossible to comb the hair down straight against the child's head.
That's wild. Wow.
Yeah.
And you said that like it happens in kids, so do people just grow out of it or what?
Yeah. In later childhood, it usually spontaneously gets better. So it can start at like 3 months of age and it can start to appear up to about age 12. But as the child grows up, I guess the hair shaft corrects itself and they have combable hair again.
Wow. That's a problem I never knew could happen.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see if Sebastian has uncombable hair.
Yeah. I guess we have to all wait until our kids are about 12, because if it could appear until then.
Oh,
but since there's only 100 people like in the whole world who have shown this, I think we're probably in the clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. How to make being a girl mom just like that much harder.
I know.
The hair totally uncombable.
I know. Ugh. Poor mom. All right. What about you? Do you have another one for us?
Oh, yeah. I got a good one. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what superfetation is?
Oh, I was going to talk about that one.
No, you were?
That was my second one.
Oh, man, you were? I was so excited to talk about super. Is it superfetation or superfetation?
I don't know. That is the part of the research I did not do. I was just going to call it superfetation. But well, yeah, feet, like fetal.
fetal, so yeah. Okay, so I think that's a really good one. I think we should talk about it, but I'm going to let you talk about it, okay? And I'll do a different one.
Oh, you're so nice. Okay.
Okay, okay. I'll do a different one. So, you know, something else I learned about recently that I didn't know about is something called DMER. Have you heard of this?
D as in dog, D-M-E-R?
D-M-E-R.
No.
Or I think it might be pronounced D-M-E-R, like D-M-E-R. But mm-hmm. It stands for dysphoric milk ejection reflex. Have you heard about this?
No. Tell me more.
So I found out about it because my friend from Mommy and Me had it. And what it is it's a condition where women who are breastfeeding like develop negative emotions like right when the letdown happens. So,
whoa, like anger?
Yeah. So it can be anger. It can be like sadness. It can be like they call it dysphoric because it's like basically when you have your letdown, your brain releases all these chemicals, right? And It just creates like a flood of emotions that lasts like 20 seconds and then it's over.
Whoa.
It can also cause like panic, that type of things. Like it just can cause like anxiety and panic and depression, like sadness and all this stuff, but it's very, very brief.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes away. Like usually within 10 minutes of the letdown, like usually even less, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like for my friend, she said it lasts like 20 to 30 seconds for her and then it's fine. But it sounds awful because it's like you're breastfeeding constantly, especially at the beginning. And I can't imagine like basically feeling like you're having a panic attack every time.
Mm-hmm. And so confusing. Like, why is this happening? And breastfeeding, you're quote unquote supposed to be like a wonderful bonding experience with your baby. And it must be so confusing to like all of a sudden be like rage, panic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's this mom on, there's an article from What to Expect that says 5 moms describe what it's like to have DMER. And the first quote said, "The best way I can describe it is a mix of panic, nausea, and homesickness paired with a hollow feeling in your stomach and the occasional hot flash to boot."
Wow. So what do you do about it?
Yeah, so apparently there's not much you can do about it. They recommend you like practice mindfulness and do more skin to skin. But otherwise, I think the suggestion is basically like suck it up or stop breastfeeding, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Which, you know, my friend, she breastfed till I think her daughter was 1. And now she's having the same thing with her second baby. And, you know, it sucks. Yeah.
Oh, your poor friend. Now, what is it exactly that's causing that reaction? Do you know like what hormones are involved or why this is going on?
Yeah, no one really knows exactly for sure, but they think it has to do with the combination of the oxytocin and prolactin that gets released when you have a letdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
The oxytocin, you know, that's like the love hormone, right?
Right.
But apparently oxytocin also inhibits dopamine, which helps, you know, like make you happy and stabilize your mood. So like if your dopamine drops and your oxytocin surges and the prolactin, I don't know what it's doing, is making your boobs leak. It just is like the perfect storm to give you this dysphoric feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but I just wanted to talk about it. It's not very funny. I was going to talk about the superfetation because I thought that was like a much more uplifting thing to talk about or like really interesting and not that scary. But you know what? Maybe someone's listening to this right now and they didn't know why they felt this way when they were breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thing. It's called dysphoric milk ejection reflex. And, you know, hopefully you could try to manage it. And at least maybe even knowing what it is would help, you know? Because I could totally see being a new mom and having those feelings and just assuming everyone feels like that when they're breastfeeding or something, you know, like.
Oh, for sure. Or questioning yourself, like, what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not feeling love and relaxation while nursing?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to know what it's supposed to feel like, right? Like you hear about the letdown, right? Like, what does a letdown feel like? Maybe people think like, oh, it just feels like you're having a panic attack.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to. Oh. So here we are to tell you that. So yeah.
Very interesting.
But anyway, that is my ad-libbed today. I learned a lot of things. So, you know, I just pulled one out of my pocket. but I really want to hear about superfetation. Like, we need to talk about this. It's so fascinating.
Okay, let's do it. But I think we need to take a break and then talk about it after the break.
Okay, fine. Let's do it.
Ah, Shauna! This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back, and Shauna, I'm dying for you to tell people about this superfetation. Like, what is it? Let's talk about it.
Okay, here we go. Well, first I want to say, you're like, it's not very scary. And I want to say, well, I don't know. Maybe it was one of my fears that I maybe Googled once or twice, but didn't know really that it existed.
Yeah, true. So, fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to tell people what it is.
Okay. So, superfetation is getting pregnant when you're already pregnant.
No! You're right. It is terrifying. You think it's like the one good thing about being pregnant, right? Like you can have unprotected sex there. You're not going to get pregnant again. No worries about birth control.
Like, no, it can happen. It is rare, very, very, very rare. Again, from what I read, fewer than 10 instances of this phenomenon worldwide have been recorded. So it doesn't happen often. But the reason it's on my radar is because there's a news story about a woman who recently gave birth to twins that she conceived 3 weeks apart.
Wow, 3 weeks is a long time.
It is a long time. So she got pregnant. She'd been battling infertility and I guess was on some kind of ovulation stimulation drugs, mm-hmm. got pregnant, got her pregnancy, got her BFP, went to the doctor and got her ultrasound, heard the baby's heartbeat. They're like, wonderful, you're going to have one baby. you know, fantastic. And they went back for the 12-week ultrasound, and the doctor was like, there's actually another baby in there, and it's measuring 3 weeks behind the first baby. And we think that you got pregnant after you were already pregnant with that first child.
Nuts. Nuts. And it's so like nuts. When you ovulate again, basically, right? Like some yes. women just ovulate more than once in a cycle or ovulate in off times. And yeah, it's they just implant and you get another baby.
Yeah.
I guess the thing that's interesting about it to me is that it can be dangerous, right? Because you have babies that are different gestational ages. Mm-hmm. So if they're too far apart, you're going to have like a preemie, right?
Right.
Or with twins, you'd probably have an even more of a preemie.
Yes, there's photos of her baby. She gave birth to the babies, I think, in November. She had a planned C-section when she was about 33 weeks along. And the two babies are very different sizes. Like at first, you know, when you hear about this, you think, oh, I don't know. Did she really get pregnant 3 weeks later? Or is one twin just, you know, not growing as fast
yeah,
as the other,
uh-huh.
you know? But this like is very convincing. These babies are quite different sizes. Even now, like 6 months later, one just looks younger than the other and much smaller. And they're very adorable too. Very cute.
I do wonder if this is more common than we think, and we're just now seeing them because early scanning and stuff is so good. You know, like the early sonograms are like super precise, and you can like mm-hmm. figure out the size of the embryo like to the day. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you get early sonograms like that, you could tell the difference between a 6 week embryo and a 10 week embryo. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's a huge difference, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
huge.
So I learned about this because of TikTok. Thank you, TikTok.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, you're missing out by not being on TikTok is all I'm saying. And I found out because there's a woman on there who's been, you know, TikToking her pregnancy with triplets that she Ooh. Conceived with superfetation. Like
mm-hmm.
she had twins and then another baby implanted 10 days later.
Wow.
So she has a 10-day difference. And she had a TikTok explaining like how she knew for sure it was superfetation and not something else. And there was reasons. Like, it sounded very convincing. So yeah, and she's since had the babies. They were in the NICU last I checked, but I need to go and look. But
mm-hmm.
but you know, triplets almost always are going to spend some time in the NICU, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I learned about it. And I was just like, oh, shit. So
yes.
that's a thing that can happen.
That is. Okay, here's another one I heard about. In 2017, there was an American woman who agreed to act as a surrogate for a Chinese couple. And she got pregnant with twins. And very soon into the process, realized that one of the twins was 3 weeks behind the other. And she ended up giving birth to the Chinese couple's baby and her own biological child that she had conceived
Whoa.
3 weeks after being
That's
impregnated
weird.
With the embryo. Yeah.
What do you even... That sounds tricky from like a legal point of view. Like, I guess you just do genetic testing and then it's obvious nowadays.
Yeah,
right?
I guess so.
Wow. So weird.
That's so crazy.
I might have been like mad if I was the couple that was using her as a surrogate. Be like,
yeah.
hey, think you could like cool it on the sex for like just a couple of weeks before. I don't know.
No, right?
I guess, you know, they live their lives and who's going to think that like they're going to get pregnant at the same time as being already pregnant? No one thinks that.
Yeah, no one.
Now you all do. Now you all are worried that you're going to get pregnant with two babies like weeks apart from each other. They're going to come out with uncombable hair. You're going to get dysphoric milk ejection reflex, and then you're going to see them like turn red on half their body. This is what we've done to our listeners
We're
today.
So sorry. Remember, all these things are rare. You're okay. You're okay.
Oh, man. Okay, this was fascinating, though. I think this was a really good and interesting segment because I've learned a lot.
Me too.
All right. But I think we should move on to our BFPs and BFNs. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we close our show every week with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, I want to know, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Woohoo!
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 Oh,
I don't know what
that is. So enthusiastic, Laura.
I don't know. I'm covered in pee and so tired, Shauna.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. No, okay. I am excited. I'm happy you have a BFP. What is it?
Okay, so this is an activity that I pulled out of my ass to do with the kids because we have long days that never end for the last like 400 days of lockdown. I'm always looking for something to do. So anyway, the other day I was like, let's get outside and go for a walk, at least around the cul-de-sac. And you know, I've talked about before, it's so hard to get these kids out of the house. They don't want to get dressed, put on their shoes, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, I want to do something to get out of the house and walk around. So I was like, let's go on a treasure hunt. And that got them really excited. And they're like, yeah, treasure hunt. And then I was like, what am I going to do for a treasure hunt? Oh, my God. I had no plans to back that up. Luckily, kids are little kids at this age are pretty easily convinced that stuff is cool. So I was like, OK, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you some special treasure hunting bags. I'll be right back. And I went and got a couple of like white lunch sack paper bags that I had. And I was like, here's one for you, Elle. Here's one for you, Cece. And the object of the game is we have to go around the cul-de-sac and collect any treasures that you can find and put it in your little sack. And they were like, oh, yes. Awesome. They thought that was so cool. And I was just like, oh, my God, literally all you guys are going to be doing is picking up rocks and leaves and stuff. But they were so into it. And it was so cute. And they got dressed. We went outside and walked around. And Elle's like, oh, my God, a berry from the tree. And, you know, putting berries in her bag and rocks and leaves, just all kinds of things, sticks. And it's like, okay, next we're going to have to look out for the biggest leaf you could find. And so they went running off and trying to find huge leaves. And it was just a cute, wholesome activity that was fun and different and a success. And yeah, it was just a really fun time.
That's some very clever momming right there.
You know? Thank you.
It really is. I feel like that's like a Pinterest like thing, but except, you know, you would have had to have your lunch sacks like all decorated and whatnot. But I think your method is better because you don't actually have to do anything. Just get the bag and use your imagination.
Yeah, it was very easy on my part, which is a big key in activities that I like to do with my kids. Not that I don't like to put in effort with my kids. It's just I have learned that the more effort I put into like setting up an activity or making it perfect or over the top, that does not equal satisfaction on their part or time engaged at all. So,
yep.
Maybe that's one reason I was so thrilled about this. I was just like, it was just easy breezy.
Here's a question. Do you think it would work again? Or do you think it was like a one-time situation?
It was probably a one-time situation unless I wait a while to do it again. I think the novelty wore off and we're going to need to wait a while.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Like, that's one of those things where it sucks because you're like, I think I cracked the code. And then you're like, oh, no, I cracked the code for one day. But that day was glorious.
It was, yes. I'm going to take that win. I think what I could do is put more thought and effort to it and make it more of a game or challenge for Elle. Like, if I were to be like, first, you have to find a piece of tree bark the size of a dollar bill or, you know, specific things for her to hunt down would make that more engaging for her. But for her to just walk around and put sticks in a bag, that wouldn't last so long. Maybe Cece would be into that still.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like a 2-year-old thing. Mm-hmm. You could definitely get a 2-year-old interested in just picking up rocks and sticks for hours.
Yes, that's so true. Oh, they're so sweet.
Follow-up question. Yeah. What did you do with their treasure when you got home?
Yeah, that, you know, it made a mess in the backyard. Like, they came and dumped their treasures out on the table outside and looked at them for a minute, and then it just sat there in a mess for a while. And then that's one of those things I feel bad about throwing away because it was like a special thing they found. But then I just eventually had to just throw it in the trash or put, you know, put rocks back, you know, in the rock area of my yard. But all the other stuff I just trashed.
The rock section.
Yes, I have a rock section.
Next to the dirt section. Next to the leaves section.
Yep, I've got all of those. I've got a smorgasbord backyard. And a sand section. A very big sand section.
You do have a big sand section.
Oh, man. So, yes, that is my BFP for the week. What do you got for us?
Oh, I got a BFN.
Oh, okay.
We knew it was coming. My mom left.
Oh, already? Yeah. That went too fast.
Too fast. 2 months went so fast. But, you know, like I said, my baby is 2 months old and my mom was staying for 2 months. So here we are.
You couldn't convince her to stay another 2 years?
I mean, she wants to. Like, we were, like, both of us just, like, bawling for, like, days leading up to her leaving. Aww. Every time we talked about it, we both got choked up and we're like, we can't talk about it. Yeah. And then the day she left, we kind of had to, like, not look at each other or else we were just going to lose it in front of the kids. And Augie was sort of, like, very weirded out and concerned about, like, why mommy is crying. And I'm like, I'm going to miss grandma. And he's like, I'm like, aren't you going to miss grandma? He's like, he did, though. I mean, he really does miss her. And that's the thing that was making me all teary, I think.
Yeah.
Not just that I'm losing my, like, free babysitting, which I really, you know, I value that as well. But really, it was more that Augie is so, so in love with her, like, so attached to her. And he got so used to her being right across the street. And, like, you know, like, 2 days after she left, he was looking out the front window and he was like, grandma coming over? And, like, even now I'm, like, getting choked up. I'm just like, no, honey, grandma doesn't live there. You know, he's like, grandma's house. I was like, oh, grandma doesn't live there. She was renting it, you know, trying to explain it to him. And it just kind of was, you know, breaking my heart that I had to disappoint him that way, you know.
Right.
But he seems to be doing okay. But I do think that that might be a contributing factor to why the, like, potty regression sort of came to a head this week.
Oh, true.
I kind of held back on that in my check-in because I wanted to save it for this BFN. But I think that's, like, it was just, like, the cherry on top for him.
Right.
You know, suddenly grandma, who was here for 2 months, who he loves so much, isn't here anymore. And it's just, like, it's too much for his little nervous system to take, you know. And he's just, it's potty training is not happening right now, you know. It's like he has to get stable first. So yeah, so I'm bummed about that. But she drove back up to Fresno and then she'll be driving up to Portland in, like, a week. And we still are FaceTiming, like, every day, so
good.
it'll be okay. And in a way, I'm kind of looking forward to finding out what it's like just us, you know, not having the extra help around, although we are having Amberger help us starting next week. But that's the nanny for anyone who's who's not following along, whose actual name is Amber. Augie calls her Amberger. But, you know, I'm just curious what it's going to be like now that we can, like, maybe get into, like, a rhythm. We can get schedules on, you know.
And
as much as I loved my mom being here, she definitely leaned heavily on the screen time with Augie. So maybe getting that reined in a bit. So, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. It's just another change, another thing to get used to. But I really, really enjoyed having her here. So it's a bummer that she had to leave.
Do you think she would ever move to LA after she retires?
Oh, 1,000%. She's already, like, on it, basically. She keeps asking.
Cool.
She was like, I need to find a condo near you. But, you know, I've talked about how our house is too small and we're thinking about moving and stuff. So I was like, don't do anything until we know where we're going to land, you know? But yeah, she's ready. She would, I mean, she'd be living down here already, probably. If, you know, if my stepdad didn't live in Portland and she wanted to be with him, she would be here 24/7. So yeah. But yeah, we miss her. We miss Grandma Susan.
Yeah.
But anyway, she'll be back. Now that she's vaccinated, she can travel a lot easier. So that's good.
Good.
So, like, she could even fly here, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But anyway, that's been my week.
All right. I think, is that it for our show?
I think it is. I'm tired.
I know. You need to go take some rest.
I say that every week, but it just keeps happening.
Yeah. It'll probably keep happening for a while.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's the bed I made.
Yeah.
But let's wrap it up.
Okay. Listeners, if you have anything you want to share with us, have you come across any fascinating Today I Learns, please share them with us. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo in that email. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, if you want to join an awesome community and you're on Facebook, just search Big Fat Positive Community and request to join because it's a private group. Answer the 2 membership questions and we will send you straight on through so you can join in on all the wonderful discussions we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. That's so helpful for us and helps other people want to take a chance on our show. And spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.